Isaiah 59. Thankful that His Word is true. And we can dig into it this morning. I'm going to look at the first four verses of Isaiah 59. It says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Lord, we thank You for Your word tonight, or this morning. Lord, we thank You that it is true. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to preach. Lord, that You'd be with us during this time. You'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to put away the thoughts of this world and the cares and things afterward. And Lord, just to focus on Your word, help us to glean truth from it. The Holy Spirit would teach us today and convict of sin. And Lord, I pray if there's any lost, I pray that they'd come to know You before it's too late. And Lord, we thank You for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So this is another instance of a prophet. This time it's Isaiah telling God's people how they're living contrary to God. And he's telling them that, you know, judgment's coming, of course, and telling them how to repent. But here's the thing. If you read your Bible all the way through, which I urge you to do that, you read it from one end to the other as you go through the Old Testament. I feel like you see this over and over again, right? Whether you're in the time of the judges, whether you're in the time of the early tribes, or whether you get to the kings and then the prophets start, wherever you're at, I believe it happens over and over again. God sends either a judge or a prophet or somebody to tell the people that they're living against the way God wants them to live. And sometimes you ask yourself, why did God have to do this over and over again? Why did He have to continually sin? They had the word, right? They had the scriptures. They had the truth. Why did they have to do that? You know what? It's the same reason why God calls preachers today to get into the same Bible to preach some of the same messages. I'm not up here inventing anything. Lord willing, I'm not inventing anything new up here. Amen? I'm not coming up here and bringing you something new. We're preaching about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whether we're in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Well, man, Mike, it seems like you're preaching it an awful lot. This thing has been preached for centuries and centuries and thousands of years, you know, to get to today, and it will continue until the Lord comes back. Why? Because we need to hear it. Amen. Whether they're still lost out there, amen, not everyone's come to Jesus Christ for salvation, there's lost, but also as Christians, we need to be reminded, just like God's people Israel had to be reminded over and over again. But aren't you glad we serve a merciful God? Amen. He wouldn't, if Isaiah, we didn't have this, there wouldn't be mercy, right? This showing us that there is mercy, that God's reminding the people, hey, here's what's going on. And he starts out this chapter, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." You know what question people have been asking forever and will continue to ask is this question, why do bad things happen to good people? Right? Maybe you've asked the same question. Why do God's people suffer trials? Why do we go through problems and difficulties and storms? Why is there evil reigning, it seems like, in the world? Why are these things happening? And these are difficult questions. But, you know, a lot of people get out of it by just saying, well, God isn't real. That's why this happens. That's why everything's bad. Or maybe if He is real, He's not powerful enough to stop it. You know, some people say that. Or maybe they say, our God doesn't care. That's why evil reigns, and that's why good people go through bad things and different things like that. But before you would ever tackle a question like that, it's important we remind ourselves what Isaiah said a couple chapters previous in Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You and I can't pretend to know what's going on in all of God's mind. Amen. I want a God that's smarter than me. Amen. And he's got to be smarter than me to keep this entire universe, not only create it, but keep it going. Amen. He can run it. So here's the thing. We're not going to be able to completely figure everything out about God. We can see what he's told us, but we can't even understand all of it. Amen. We've got a word here that we can't fully understand, but the good thing is he's given us the Holy Spirit to help to teach us and different ones to help us. But here's the thing, the things that we don't understand, that's okay. We just have to trust God. Amen. We've got to trust him. But look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. You know what that means? God's hand, God is powerful enough to save us from anything. That's what he's saying. It's not too short. It's not that God is unable. And you think about that again. If we go through all of the Word of God, if we go through the whole Bible, even go through the Gospels and look at Jesus Christ, what did he do? He saved people from every situation in life. Every type of trial. He healed every type of disease, every type of deformity and everything else. He cast out demons. He saved souls. He calmed the stormy sea. He gave sight to the blind. He softened hardened hearts over and over again. And here's the thing, if you think God's not powerful enough, you're just listening to the lies of the devil. That's it, you're listening to him. And here's the thing, he says that he tries to get us to believe in the middle of a trial that God cannot save. But we got to remember, even in this verse right here, God's hand is not shortened. It's not too short that he can't reach down and make a difference. Amen? Amen. What else does it say in that verse? Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You know, remember Elijah there on Mount Carmel? Remember they brought all of the children of Israel together and he said, we're going to settle this matter. We're going to figure out who the real God is. And they brought all those prophets of Baal together. Remember, and then Elijah on the other side, and each of them set up a sacrifice. And he said, you first, you guys first call upon your God, and then I'll call upon the God, and we'll see which one answers by fire. And they thought that was a good idea for some reason, right? They started in the morning, and when it got to noontime, the Bible says this, Elijah on Mount Carmel mocked the prophets of Baal because their God was not responding. Right? It was noon, so they'd been crying out for several hours, and Elijah said this to them, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. So those prophets of Baal, they turned it up. Right? They start screaming even louder. They start cutting themselves and everything else. This goes on all the way until evening. And guess what the Bible finally says? There was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regardeth. You know what that's saying? They cried all day long, and there was no answer. Amen? That's the problem, isn't it? People are crying out to gods that don't exist. Amen? They've made up a God in their mind. They fashioned something with their hands. And then they knelt down and they worshiped it. The Bible talks about how ridiculous that is. But that happens over and over again. Men creating idols and then getting frustrated that the idol can't help them. And for some reason they take it out on God. Right? That's what happens. There was no answer. You know why Elijah was mocking them? Because if it was a real God, it wouldn't need to be woken up. Amen? If it was a real God, you wouldn't need to interrupt the conversation or talk loud, you know, as if he was hard of hearing. If it was a real God, then he could hear. Let me ask you a question. Do we have to wake up the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Amen? Do we have to get the attention of Jesus Christ by cutting ourselves or yelling or making a scene or anything else? No. No, neither is his ear shortened. that he cannot hear. Amen. He can hear, or neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. You know what that means? God is aware of our problems. He hears our prayers. And we may not get the answer we want, or we may not get it in the timing that we want, but he hears. He hears every bit of it.
Right.
Amen? Amen? So if God loves us, if God's powerful enough to save us, and God hears us, then what's the problem? Right? That's the question. What's the problem? Well, God answered it in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The problem's out with God's power. It's not that he's hard of hearing. It's not that he doesn't know what's going on. The problem is our iniquities. It's our sins. That's the problem, right? It's easy to blame God, right? It's easy to blame other people for our problems. You know what the Bible says? We got to place it back here on ourselves. That's what it's saying. You know, the book of Job, one of the things that it teaches is that you can go through a trial that's not because of sin, right? That's what they kept saying, is that Job, you're going through all this because you sinned against God. And that it clearly teaches us in the book of Job and other parts of the Bible, but there especially, that you can be in a trial that's not because of sin. Now, Job also teaches us that you can continue to bless God and worship God and trust God in your trial. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what the devil said to him, to God. He said, hey, he'll curse you if you don't stop blessing him. Job didn't do that. But I will say this. There are times where we're in trials because of sin. It does happen from time to time. And for a Christian, that's just called chastisement. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to wake us up. Right? So we need to ask ourselves, if we're in a trial, is there some place in my life or some area of my life where I'm not doing God's, am I being disobedient to his word or being disobedient to his will? Right? Remember, we talked about the Old Testament, the sins of the children of Israel. What did they do? They caused God to quit listening. In fact, there's some multiple times where very powerfully he said, God would say this. He'd say, hey, I don't want your sacrifice anymore, right? I don't want you to go through the motions. I don't want you to bring the animal and do all these things if your heart's not in it. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he's saying. I'm not going to hear that. You think our God's any different? You think we can come in here with the wrong state of mind, the wrong heart, and we can come in here and sing the songs and worship and do everything like normal and think God's going to accept that? No. He's the same God. And here's the thing. If you're lost today, if you've never called on Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, God's not going to hear any prayer other than the one for you calling out to him for salvation. Amen?
Amen.
That's the prayer he wants to hear. We can get frustrated with our society today, right? You know how what frustrates, maybe this doesn't frustrate you, but it frustrates me, is I feel like our modern society blames everybody but themselves, right? Every situation they're in, every problem they're in, whether it's financial or whatever, it's always somebody else's fault, right? And somebody else has to fix it, right? And they want government to fix all their problems. And I'm like, oh my, no way. I don't want them to fix any of my problems. Amen? Because usually they create more when they try to fix it. But anyway, right? Isn't that the problem? You seeing it too? Maybe you're doing it too as well. Saying, man, I got this problem and that problem and everything else. And it's because of this and because of that. Sometimes we got to point the finger back. If it feels like God's not listening, if it feels like there's a separation between you and God, the problem's not with God. He said it's with sin. That's the problem. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And here's the thing. A lot of times the devil wants us to downplay our sins, right? It's not that bad. It's no big deal, right? It's okay. God doesn't really care how we live, right? He's a loving God. He doesn't really care. But look at how God's starting to describe sin from his point of view. Amen? God takes sin seriously. And in fact, if you have any doubt, any little inkling of doubt in your mind that God doesn't take sin seriously, all you have to do is look back at the cross. 6 hours, Jesus painfully died on the cross after being whipped and mocked and beard plucked out and spat upon and everything else. The physical torment, the emotional and mental torment and everything else. He did that because of sin. Amen? He takes sin seriously. He cares how we live. Our fingers are defiled with iniquity. Our lips have spoken lies and everything else. Verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Right? There's no justice. Now, we're going to pause right here. Our society has stolen the word justice from the Bible. And you know what they do? They say that means social justice. So every time you read justice, you need to say it's social justice, right? If we could just clean up this world, if we can make different things happen in this world, if we can make different groups that feel like they're oppressed and everything else feel better, then that's what God wants us to do. No. He's talking about God's justice, not our own man-made version of justice. His justice. You know what God's justice is? You know what his measure of judging things is? It's by holiness and righteousness and never involves anything sinful. Amen? So when God talks about justice, it's the opposite of sin. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody pleadeth for truth. You know what he's saying? Nobody wants the truth from God's word anymore. Right? That's what the prophet's telling the people. Nobody wants the truth of scriptures anymore, right? Nobody wants the Bible to lead their lives. Nobody wants it to lead their nation. Instead, they trust in vanity, speak lies. They conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. Do you want to know why our nation's the way it is today? Why our communities are in the way it is today? Because we have got a nation of people and a community of people that refuse to trust in the truth of God. Amen. They've refused and they've replaced it with one thing. And you can comprise it all into one word. The Bible says they've taken the truth and replaced it with vanity. Vanity. Empty. Unsatisfying. Right? Worthless. They've replaced it with nothing. And haven't we seen that? Where is this world going anyway? What are they building? What are they accomplishing? Nothing. Nothing. I've told people, look at any measure of our society. Have we gotten better? No. 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 It's getting worse. Why? Because we've turned from God. And then we demand that he bless us. It doesn't work that way. King Solomon was the wisest, richest man that ever lived and ever will live. And he spent his life, after he built the house of the Lord, he spent his life chasing after riches, chasing after women, huge building projects, materialism, worldly success, and the list goes on and on and on. And you read the book of Ecclesiastes that he wrote at the end of his life. And what did he say after each one of these things? He said, "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity." He said it as many times as you could say it. It's all worthless, right? Now people will read that book and say, well, that means a life is worthless. No. That's not what King Solomon at the very end, the last two verses of the entire book, after explaining the experiment of his life and explaining how he just found vanity and vanity and vanity after all these things that he went after. Ecclesiastes 12 verses 13 and 14. This is how it ends. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know what King Solomon realized? After he tried to do all kinds of things without God, he realized in the end, I was wrong. The conclusion of the whole smartest man ever lived, did a lot of dumb things, but at the end he said this, here's what I've learned, running away from God's will, we got to fear him, right? We got to reverence him.
Amen.
We got to follow him and his commandments, because one day we're going to stand before him and he's going to judge us. That's what he said. The only thing that matters in life, are you trusting him? Are you obeying him? Are you turning to him? Are you living righteously? Because one day we will stand before him. You may stand before a judge. You may get out of it, right? Who knows? Justice doesn't always work down here in this world. But here's the thing. In this world, they speak lies. They conceive mischief. They bring forth iniquity. You trade the truth for a lie, what's it going to lead you to? More sin and more sin and more sin, more evil, more wickedness. Now let me ask you this question. Have you seen it in your life? Anytime you've turned from the truth of God, whether it be turned from the Bible leading your life and turned to something else, what happens? Do things get better? They get worse. And this chapter continues. We could go on and on and on all day long, all the way through to the end of, through to verse 15, we start to see a change. Verse 15 in the same chapter, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Right? What was the problem? Remember, what was the problem that kept God from intervening, and what separated the people from their God, and what kept God from hearing their prayers? It was sin, right? Well, then we get down to verse 16, and God's looking around, and he says, I'm looking for an intercessor. That's a big word, but what that means is a go-between. Right? If I've got God on one side and I've got sinners on the other, and that's separated, I need somebody in the middle that can reach to both sides and bring them together. That's an intercessor or a mediator or a go-between. And God looked down and he couldn't find one. There was no intercessor. Why? Because he went look down on this earth and all he found was sin. Amen? All he found was sinners. There was no intercessor. Sinful humanity. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin, we already learned, it separates. Well, we need a mediator. But if everyone's a sinner, nobody can mediate, right? Because the one that sins needs a mediator too. So he looked down and saw nobody. But remember, his arm's not too short. Look what that same arm did in verse 16. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. You know what God did? He looked on this earth for a mediator, for an intercessor. There was none. So he sent one. Amen?
Yeah.
He sent one from heaven down to this earth to intercede for sinful man. Amen? Just in case you didn't know who that was, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. God sent his only begotten son because he so loved this earth that we could find salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. His arm's not too short. Down in verse 20, and the Redeemer, capital R, shall come to Zion. That's another word for Jerusalem. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Sin separated us from God, but Jesus Christ left all of heaven. And guess what he did? He was born of a virgin. He was born without sin. He lived a perfectly righteous life. He fulfilled every bit of what God had commanded. He lived in this sinful world, but he didn't commit any sin himself. So he was the one that could intercede. But you know how he did it? It wasn't just coming to this world. It wasn't just preaching the truth, right? It wasn't in healing the sick and everything else, raising the dead. He did those things. You know how he really interceded for us? He took our sins upon himself and allowed them to nail him to that cross. And the one that was innocent died for the guilty. And he gave his life for you and me. I love that song, His Life for Mine. How could it ever be that he would give his life for mine? That's what he did. He interceded for us. Now we have an intercessor. Amen?
Amen.
That's Jesus. We can call on his name because he died for our sins. He restored the broken relationship. And when we couldn't come to God, God came to us. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have time to go through the whole chapter, but even if you just kind of scan down the page, you'll notice something. From verses 1 to 8, Isaiah says, your iniquities, your sins, they trust in vanity, their feet run to evil, the way of peace they know not, and it just goes over and over again. But in verse 9, it changes. Therefore is judgment far from us. We grope for the wall like the blind. You know what changes in verse 9? Do you want to realize why the intercessor comes into the picture? It's because Isaiah, for the first half of this chapter, is saying, you're the problem, right? Your sins. What we read in the very beginning. Isn't that what he did? Your iniquities has separated you from your God, right? That's what he was saying. But what happened? Finally, Isaiah starts including himself. Do you see that? He starts saying that, hey, we, us. You know what he did? He admitted, I'm part of the problem.
Right.
I'm a sinner too. Because you know what? Maybe if I don't know what was going on through Isaiah's mind, but maybe for a second he thought maybe he could be the intercessor. And God looked down and said, I saw none.
Yeah.
Even Isaiah needed a Savior too. Amen?
Amen.
And here's the thing. Jesus Christ can't do anything for you until you admit yourself that you are a sinner. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Just like at 9 years old, I realized one night we were coming home from evening service. And I realized in the van that I was a sinner. My iniquities, my sin was going to send me to hell. And I realized that night, I need to call on Jesus' name. I'd heard the gospel, but it didn't do me any good till I realized I was a sinner and I needed Jesus Christ. But as soon as I called on his name, he heard my prayer.
Yes.
And he forgave me of my sins. I have failed him over and over again. I've not lived perfectly, but he saved me anyway. Amen?
Yeah.
In spite of all that, he still saved me. So maybe you're in a trial today because sin has separated you. Or maybe you're just in a trial. Because sin had separated God from the children of Israel different times. And in every one of those times, God wanted the same thing. He wanted them to own up to their sin, turn from their wicked ways, and turn back to God. I love 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. All of it. But the first word is if. If we confess our sins, he will not force forgiveness on you. He will not force his son on you. He will not force a new life on you. He will not force heaven on you. He'll not force any of it. He says, if. The invitation is open today. Will you call on Jesus today? Are you tired of being separated from you and your God? We've got an intercessor today, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.